So what Vanessa does really well is she validates the emotion. And sometimes she will stretch me to be like, no, you're angry.
Yeah.
You're pissed. You're upset. You want to X, Y, and Z. Like, that's okay. And so that I've been so grateful for, especially growing up, not having my emotions
affirmed,
not validated or affirmed. Yeah.
These are practical conversations about real life experiences with human design woven throughout, just like a tapestry of our human experience, but threaded in a new language. Featuring projector AC Brown, generator Rachel Lieberman, manifesting generator Jasmine Kenna, and me, your manifester, Vanessa Henry.
You, me,
we're in this together.
Let's listen to each other.
You're listening to Each Other, a human design centered podcast featuring an ensemble of energy types.
So just before we started recording, I was just gabbing with the gals a little bit here, and Jasmine was informing me that some of the people in her network thought it was vraiment drôle, it was funny, that I was barking about being seen as a leader in the podcast. And they were like, it's funny, Vanessa doesn't think that. So you know what? Whatever. I feel some kind of way about that. But
I don't know why. Whatever. Last episode, you're like, we're changing the topic.
Yeah. Whatever. We're here to have fun. We're here to just chat and hang out. And we're talking about feelings today. We're talking specifically about the solar plexus. And we're going to want to hear from Ms. Brown a lot, obviously, because she's our only emotionally defined being here. But we also have Rachie with a totally open solar plexus, which I find... lots of wisdom potential there. And then we got me and Jasmine Kenna, who have some activations, and we tend to lose our shit and feel fried. And we were made by some emotional parents. Uh-huh. So we grew up being raised and around that type of environment and maybe amplifying things. So like, Jasmine, what was that? What was that like? What was that like having an emotional mother?
Oh my God. It was horrible. It was bad.
My mom's yeah. emotional ways, when she would get going, yeah. it was like, oh my God. Like, honestly,
she was pretty like, I don't know how to describe it, because she's like moody. It was just moodiness, totally. Overwhelming moodiness. So my mom has 8 centers defined, except everything's defined except for her ID center. My brother has all 9 centers defined. So we were a house of a lot of energy, a lot of manifesting generator energy. Everybody was nuts except for me and my little open solar plexus or undefined. I think I only have one.
You got the 56. Yeah, reaching to the root.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's it. And
both your pressure centers are open. So if they're really defined, yeah, you're being pressured to heck, and your nerves are potentially being fried. That's a lot.
Right. I mean, I always felt like, well, now I know, right? Like, I'm like, oh, I have pressure to like, think about something, you know, to like, I don't know what I don't know. And then I'm like feeling, and then I have pressure to like do something about, I can feel how everyone feels, and I need to do something about how they feel. So I just ran around that house being a little people pleaser, eating my feelings probably, and being really stressed out all the time. Yeah. And they really, you know, it's really interesting. Like, my mom has no idea about her moods.
Ooh.
But she does not know that she is the moody one. Like, she would always be like, you're so erratic. And I'm like, actually, like, if I'm alone, I'm just like not erratic at all. Like, when I finally moved out on my own, I kind of thought like, is something wrong with me? I don't feel anything. Like, when I'm alone,
yeah,
you know, like, I would just be like even keeled. But in my mom's house, I mean, I was just a roller coaster. I was just riding a wave all the time.
That's how I felt like. And I felt like I was positioned as the one with like big emotions, you know, and now to like just look back on everything that I've now learned and the experiences I had, if the household was 50% emotional and I'm not aware of it, and they have competing waves and they're not aware of it. Like, my mom used to get so upset, and she needed everyone else around her to be upset too. And it was like, she would make a big deal, like slamming doors in her room, crying hard. You shrunk. I remember this one time my dad shrunk her. She bought this new sweater and he washed it and accidentally shrunk it. And it was like the world fucking end. like, and she was like, ugh! Sobbing, and I could hear her sobbing through all the vents of the house. Like, it didn't matter where I went. And it was just like, like, it was just
overwhelming.
Like, God, it was so overwhelming. And I think she's like now is way more aware of it. But when she was like a young adult, I don't think she was super aware of it. And it was really hard to be around because I really understand, like, the solar plexus avoiding the conflict. I remember like walking on eggshells, like tiptoe and try, just don't get in her fucking way. Just go hide in your bedroom. Like, she's going to erupt. You're going to say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing. And it felt like I never knew what was going to upset her or never knew where her emotions were going to be. It didn't feel like a big consistency there other than she gets upset. My mom gets upset. Right. She tends to get upset. So I just got to be perfect because I don't want to upset her.
Mine was really not like that. And it's so interesting. I hear this a lot about undefined solar plexuses that are like, oh, I was the one walking on eggshells, or I was the one who like avoided confrontation. But I always felt like I somehow knew like, oh, you're upset. Like, and I wanted to like say something like, oh, let me help. Like, let me fix, let me do whatever, which I guess is another side of that. But the emotionally defined people in my house would deny that they were. It was like they would say, no, what? Like,
you have experienced that. Yeah.
You know, like, that's not happening. And so then I would be like, oh, am I okay? Well, I guess I'm taking a crazy pill. Like, I don't know what
we can feel. If you're undefined, your solar plexus, you get that prickle. You can feel them pricking the air. Like, don't lie to us. So you're not feeling shit. Like, we know you are.
Right.
You know? We know you are,
but
Rachel, you're nodding. What's going on over there?
Oh yeah. We can just feel the,
you have two emotionals with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For whatever reason, Alan doesn't like his waves are very gentle, but yeah, I'll be like, you seem down today. Like that always, this things like that. I always feel that. And then Tyler's like very emotionally volatile. So.
And there, okay, but there's four waves, right? Is that how many there are? There's different style waves. AC, maybe you'll be able to help us out there. There's four waves and they all kind of like move differently. What waves do you have? And what are those waves that we got to be aware of?
You will never tell.
I'm going to tell.
She's pissed at us for our commentary already.
No. It is, I will tell you right now. I was just talking about this with my informed practitioners. So, with the waves, there are how many waves? There are three waves.
Yeah, I think it's
three. And so, yeah, so there are three waves.
My bad.
And there is a tribal, but I call it a community wave instead of a tribal wave. There's an individual wave and there's an abstract wave, and they each have different gates attached to them. And your lovely friend here has all three waves. have all three.
How do we identify the what waves we would have? How would somebody go about?
I'll tell
that?
You. So for the tribal slash, I call it the community instead of tribal. I don't like the word tribal. The gates that are attached to that are gate 37, gate 6, and gate 49. If you have those active, for the individual wave, the active gates are gate 22 and gate 55. For the collective wave or abstract wave, it is 36 and 30. Those are the waves. I have all three of them.
So if I'm not emotional, but I have an activation.
So I'll explain. So
I'd love to hear that.
The solar plexus runs off of the emotional wave. So each wave occurs when a channel is active. And so if you have a tribal wave, or i.e. like I said, community wave, as I like to say, it's activated through touch and need. An individual wave is activated through moods and passion. And then the abstract wave is activated through desire and feelings.
I want to bring something up.
Go ahead.
When I look at Rachel's chart, she's got totally open solar plexus, totally open heart. So that's hugely open in there. There's nothing from the sacral reaching. There's nothing from the root reaching. Rachel is profoundly open over on this right side. What is her wave experience then going to be like?
How I teach my students.
Whoever.
For this, because that was a question that people asked. And it's probably more important for you to know the people who you're around, which waves they have, because that's going to affect you more.
Right.
So
Because she's Rachel not having any activations, you know, like there's not a lot of connections.
Right. But if Rachel and I were into, you know, together, she's going to feel it all. She's going to be like, what?
Activations.
The? Right. I mean, my friends have even had a friend say to me, like, I totally understand your wave now because I feel I have all three of them. Mm. So it is a, and Vanessa, you know, if you, you know, if we go deeper in this, you can probably attest to
I've been tracking
on the other
waves.
Side. Right.
Oh, yeah. Are, oh, yeah.
On the other side. It is, it's intense.
You have a wave that goes in a like a slower cycle. It's like, oh, you're also judgment sense, AC. Oh, that makes so much sense. Okay. Let me gather my spirits here. I noticed that you will have one wave that moves on a slower timeline. So it's like you're experiencing some things and you're going to kind of move away from it. And then we're revisiting those peak emotions again. It's like, oh, I thought we were through this. No, me we're not too. Through this.
We're not.
Right. So we go through another. Yeah. And it's like, and then more depth comes out and then, oh, it starts to lighten up again. Oh, and then there it is. It's come back again. More depth comes out. So it's as if watching you experience that wave, there needs to be a longer stretch of time in order to be able to excavate the full gamut of the emotions there, because you have a really deep capacity to hold a lot of emotion. So it's mm-hmm. almost like it can't all come out at once. It would be so dysregulating. And I notice it comes out, the depths reveal themselves in about like a, it feels like there's 3 to 4 waves of the one emotion mm-hmm. that I've, if, and it's like a big emotion. It's like something's gone on, something's happened.
Yeah.
There's a cycle it has to move
I
through.
I agree. And I would say, without crying, that is...
I mean, it would be totally appropriate on the emotional right, episode.
That is probably the biggest, I don't want to say fear, that my prayer to God is that the man who I partner with, I can partner with and have a husband who truly can hold space for that. Because I've been in relationships where... it hasn't been in that. It's very painful. It's torturous.
When we don't know what's going on, when we don't know there's going to be 4, 3, 5 rounds of this wave, we're not good space holders. We're not, because in our heads, we're like, we're still going through this. I thought we got this.
Like I said, that's my prayer.
But when we're informed, like when you're like to us, look, it takes me sometimes to feel these things out. I don't actually fully know how I feel. I'm going to have, it's going to come right. up again. It's
that's like, what I'm saying. Like having,
we're prepared. We're like, oh, okay.
Right.
We're
knowing and
part.
Telling someone, this is how I operate. But
makes
I've been
a
in relationships
yeah.
where they knew that and they still didn't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, it's been 3 weeks. We're back on the wave again. And it's just like, yeah. Well, that's fucking how it happened. But however, I tell people, especially in romantic relationships, because once I am over it, it is finito. It's yeah. a wrap. So hopefully you have treated me right during that wave.
During
I'm
that,
fucking
yeah.
done with you.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm fucking done with you.
Let's go to Vessel of Love now, because Rachel, we were just talking about all this openness and AC shared to us like how she would translate that. What's the reality of the experience then? When you've got to really monitor everybody, because you're basically going on a ride with them. I mean, any undefined solar plexus is gonna to some degree, but your experience is a little bit different.
Honestly, this is something I've been thinking about lately. Like I'm maybe just a different stages in life. You understand it differently, but I almost feel like this is part of me that has begun deconditioning and yeah. or like reached new levels. And it's making me feel very weird. Like Jasmine said, some days I'm like, am I like dead inside?
Like, I know. It's so mellow.
Yeah. But it's not mellow. Like I've experienced so few
peaks
really. Mm-hmm, yeah. Totally. And valleys. Whereas mm-hmm. I used mm-hmm. to experience a lot of those. And yeah. it's a little bit like discombobulating because it's like, well, am I not getting these things out of life that I'm supposed to? But really, I just experience a lot of like peace and contentment,
yeah,
which is also a very productive space. It's just very different. And I think it's also, I don't know that we really, that's not necessarily something we glorify in like culture. Like, I don't know. I see all these people having all yeah. these really intense emotional experiences and I'm like, I'm just not having those anymore.
No.
Yeah. I'm with you, especially at this point in the deconditioning process. Like there could be some kind of peak event or peak emotion that happens. And I'm also on the roof, so I guess that could influence it a lot. But I'm distended from the experience in a way that it doesn't make me so emotionally upset. It's like I'm able to see what's going on. So the peaks and the valleys aren't as extreme anymore. That's a major thing that went away for me. Mm-hmm. And even when the challenge comes, it's never as challenging anymore, because it's like you have so much more space and capacity to understand what you're experiencing that it sort of de-emphasizes the emotions. Now, I have no idea what that would be like on the emotional side of things, but if you're looking at it from the solar plexus being undefined, we are here to be space holders. We are here to learn about that. We are here to learn how to navigate once we figure out those waves. And we share it and can hold space for you, but we just got to be careful not to take it on. So once we learn how to not take it on, you're kind of detached, you're kind of distended, and you give the other so much more grace because you're like, they're feeling their feelings. It's okay, mm-hmm. feeling their feelings. But before, I would get locked in it, like it's happening to me too, and we got to fix this, and you know?
Yeah.
And it wasn't, yeah. It wasn't being a good space holder for someone's emotions at all.
Yeah.
You hold space very well.
Me?
Yeah, I would like to talk about that when Rachel's done.
High compliment. I would also love to hear about that. Okay.
Ooh, Rachel, you don't have to say it like that. You're like, I'm done.
I'm done. I want to hear this.
Me too.
Okay. Because we are aware, I have all of the waves of all three of them. When I am upset, I will say that part of my emotional wave team, as I like to call you all, you don't know that. Now you do. You're a part of it. Feel special.
You're
part of the emotional wave team.
Your emotional support system. That's what you're telling me.
Yes, you are. Wow. Pretty much. So what Vanessa does really well is she validates the emotion. And sometimes she will stretch me to be like, no, you're angry.
Yeah.
You're pissed. You're upset. You want to X, Y, and Z. Like, that's okay. And so that I've been so grateful for, especially growing up, not having my emotions
affirmed,
not validated or affirmed.
Like, you are feeling this way.
Yeah.
And it's like, I am feeling that way. You know, like some people will run away from naming the emotion that they're feeling. And I do find like when you just you grab them by the shoulders, this is where we are. You're feeling pissed. It's like, there's then a surrender to the emotion.
Right.
Am feeling pissed.
Right. Because I didn't grow up in an environment. I didn't have the space to be sad, to be upset, to be angry, to be a lot of the emotions. So it was just
I've been thinking a lot about how you were telling us like a couple episodes ago about you weren't allowed. You were very discouraged from being upset about a guy or a breakup or something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, she makes a lot of sense now. You were trained to not feel when your whole process is feeling and mm-hmm. feeling those things out fully. And you were then trained to disconnect from that, not prioritize that at all, and somewhat belittled for feeling some kind of way. You feel some kind of way, you're better than that. And it was like, oh shit, well, fuck, I guess I'm not better than that because I am feeling that. Like, whoa, really discouraged, really belittled. I was very affected by that story. So I wanted to just kind of come back and have a moment with you that I think that was really unfair. And I don't think that was right. And yet this is what happened. That's what happened. And you know, now we're more aware, but I can see how an emotional being that is going to grow up and is going to have to contend with feeling some shame about how they feel. Rachie, support me on this. I see you nodding.
Support me on this, Rachie. Yeah, that would be a very difficult situation to be in as a defined emotional person, especially if you're in a family without a lot of emotionally defined people. Like I think about in my family of four, there's only one of us that is, and it's my brother. And I think he probably has had to, or maybe he hasn't, I don't know, but had to do some deconstructing around what it means to be like passionately emotional, because some of his outbursts were just like, they honestly, for my parents, it just felt like a lot. It's like, really? When your basketball team loses, do you need to like throw an entire fit and kick over furniture? Like, do you really need to do that? Because it can feel really jarring, but that was just his like teenage way of expressing his emotions. Yeah. And I'm sure that I actually, my parents were pretty good about it, but I always just thought it was ridiculous. And yeah, I've just had to learn to name it. Like you said, I think especially for a manifestor, you'd want to come out and name it. But to me, that's the secret of living with the undefined or completely open solar plexus, is like you can take all the charge out of it by just being like, oh, okay, you're feeling this way, or are you feeling this way? And then yeah, it's like out
asking
there.
A question. Yeah.
Yeah.
Asking a question. I couldn't get into sports. I'm having a little flashback of sports. Like that was, you know, a good outlet for some people, but I punched a girl in the throat. She was coming at me and I couldn't handle it. I was like, back off. Anyway, not proud. Listen
well,
to the previous
that's
episode.
One of, that's one of the few places you wouldn't believe this, but like I played soccer all through high school, and well, that's not the part that you wouldn't believe necessarily. Maybe people couldn't believe that. But
if you like, tell me you punched a chick, I'm gonna lose it. Oh my God, you were gonna tell me what's happening.
No,
right now?
I didn't punch anybody, but like if people would, you know, soccer can get pretty like contact.
Oh yeah.
And once in a while I'd end up with someone just who was like on me, and I really didn't like, and I would like elbows, like I would I just wanted that girl on the ground, because it's like just don't even. I'm not sure it brings out, I think it's like it's an outlet for a lot of things that have nothing to do with the game, and I don't know.
Yes,
I mean it's good we have an outlet, but I wish we had better outlets.
Yeah. I mean for me, I think when I played soccer, I loved people being on me, because I was like, I'm going to like elbow you. You're going to try to get my shirt. You're going to like do something to me. And I'm going to be like, no, you're not. Like, I love like any kind of grappling. I feel like there should be adult wrestling. I would be so happy. I'd be.
There is. It's called rugby. You should try rugby. I played rugby and I was in the front scrum. The way you can get aggression out in that is next level. And the tribal energy with
they're all like chanting and like doing the thing. Oh. Yeah.
Because if someone does you dirty there, the whole team is like,
oh, I love it. I live for it. We watched.
Yeah, you thrive there.
I love it. Yeah. We watched a movie called Bottoms last night, which is like a hilarious like Hulu movie.
Like gay bottoms?
I don't know. The girls were gay in it. They were lesbians, teenage lesbians. But I don't know exactly. I think they were like the bottom of the hierarchy.
I'm a gay man inside. I just went, oh, they're bottoming. Oh, a talk about bottoming.
But they started a girls fight club. And so they're like teenage girls, and they're like, I mean, it's really comedic. Like it's pretty light and airy, but they're like punching each other. And my girls were like, that's like, whoa, no way. She just punched her. She just busted her lip. And like, and as like one of them is getting their lip busted or whatever, she's like, oh, like like this is actually fun. They go to the fight club like every day. They're like really into the fight club.
Oh man.
And they were like, mom, you would be into this. You'd be at
that would have been that would have been dangerous for me. I so have that in me.
Yeah.
But here comes my vanity. Don't fuck up my face.
Yeah.
You're gonna fuck up my face.
I feel like another girl, unless she was like Ronda Rousey, isn't gonna really fuck up my face. Like you got to really
well,
like a girl.
I have a rule. You can hit me anywhere. Don't you hit me in the face.
Well, it's like the best place to hit you.
I got to go to work tomorrow. What? No.
So they're all walking around with shiners. They're so proud of themselves. It was cute.
AC, what's your emotional outlet?
Tears.
Yeah. Crying.
Oh
yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was like, do you go do a sport? Do you go do in something? We got to be some reconnecting with your passionate feelings. And permission to really
crying
feel those feelings.
Is an emotional outlet. I'm trying to think. I used to paint. I don't paint anymore.
You do always hold back your tears. You do always go, and I don't want to cry. And I'm always like
because
why?
It's exhausting. I've been doing this for a very long time, darling.
Crying is exhausting. Yeah, nothing tires me like a cry.
And it's not that I don't want to. It's just that it's a literal release. Like I feel better. I get it out. I don't know if that's ever going to stop. I think I'm going to have to be okay with it as I start doing more like things publicly.
Yeah, I love when people just let their emotions out. Gosh, I love that. It's a touchy-feely environment to me. I'm immediately moved. Like I don't know. People are like, oh, I'm embarrassed. I want to feel my feelings. I'm always
it's not the embarrassment. It's more as a combination of vanity and energy. So
okay,
vanity wise, like if I'm doing like something that's being filmed, Yeah. Now my makeup's ruined. So I'm worried about that.
We hear the Kardashians squawk about this all the time. Like, they don't want to cry and get their makeup ruined. Right. They just sat in a chair for 3 hours putting that face on.
So that's one thing. And then the next thing is because it takes so much out of me.
That made me laugh.
I'm like tired after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it takes a second to come back.
AC, do you only cry out of sadness, or is crying like something that helps you with all your emotions?
It is probably, it's all my emotions.
Interesting. I cry.
I'm a happy sobber. Like, I will sob laughing.
I cry. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All my emotions, especially anger.
Oh, some people cry when they're angry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's what I was going to ask. Yeah.
Listen, I got no other choice. My childhood and background, I would probably be in jail. Like, no, I'm being for real.
Yeah.
I better fucking cry.
She showed up to that boyfriend's place like, you're not answering my calls. What's going on? I'm here.
I better fucking cry. Yeah. Like, I better cry. Mm-hmm. If I don't cry, like, I even know people like who know me. Like, if she doesn't cry, like,
look out.
Be prepared.
Because it's like a kettle. It's like a kettle. It's all contained in there.
That's why I said you better walk with me through my emotions. You better let me cry. Because when that emotion is dried up, you could be burning next to me and I would step over you and say, please move your burn stuff out the way.
Yeah.
I'd be like, move. You're burning. Please. You're burning. Getting in the way of everybody else.
Jasmine, an angry crier.
Me too.
That's when your tears come out. You too.
Yeah, and I don't it's funny because somebody will say to me, like, why are you crying? Like, when I'm angry, and I'll go, what are you talking about? That's just water coming out of my eyes. Like, that's like literally, I said, it just happens like when I'm pissed. Like, and they're like, yeah, that's like literally the definition of crying. Those are tears. And I'm like, no, it's not. Like, I'm not, it's just a physical thing that happens. Like, I'm so I'm infuriated or enraged, and tears will just be like streaming down my face, which further enrages me because I feel like, oh, I'm not feeling like I want to look weak, or, you know, like, I don't want to be like in a weakened position right now. Like, I'm trying to be like, I'm pissed.
Yeah. You see this at the workplace, right? I don't want to cry at the workplace. I'm angry. You know, it's going to make me seem unprofessional, which I don't.
Right.
Oh, I never mind crying at the workplace because I didn't, I would be pissed.
I always did it in the bathroom. I did a lot.
Yeah. I would go in the bathroom. I would go in the bathroom and cry.
Cafes, on the street.
I've never cried at work.
I've cried at work.
I don't cry at work.
But I would go in the bathroom. I would go in the bathroom or go for a walk.
Yeah.
And cry.
Me too.
Because if I didn't, Channel 5 news.
Vanessa and I are like rage blackout.
Twin
powers activate.
Yeah, you know, when I get angry, I don't cry, but like, this is not very becoming, but I get even. Like, I'm going to level this score here.
That makes sense.
It's not becoming. It's not becoming. I'm not proud.
It's not
becoming.
It's just your design. But it's just
a design. Yep. So exactly. So when you understand what's going on, you're kind of, I find I laugh at myself more. It's like, she's real pissed.
She's doing it. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's like detached.
I always laugh to myself, and I always say, and I'm not saying this is part of my personality, but being a Taurus moon really does save me a lot.
Taurus moons fucking love themselves. Everyone who's a Taurus moon in my life, they're like, whatever, I'm a Taurus moon. I'm like, yeah,
it saves me. It saves me. It totally saves me. It saved people from like getting cursed out. It saved people from like,
because it's like your like diplomacy or something
grounded.
Oh yeah, I don't have any of that. I'm like, I'm cussing you out.
I think this is a very, very good segue on this Taurus energy, because we're putting a lot of emphasis on, let's say, unredeeming qualities or challenging qualities of the solar plexus. Okay, but the solar plexus is so alluring. It's so sexy. It is so hard to describe. Like, when somebody is emotionally defined and they make you wait, like, they have so, the emotional authority has so much power. And like, I can be aware of these dynamics, and I will approach an emotional person and initiate, and then I'm waiting and I'm like, I'm thinking about them. When are they going to get back to me? I didn't give them enough. I didn't make a good, juicy enough offer. Like, they have so much power, and it's it's all comes alive when they're not even like, they're just sitting back. Like they're not initiated. They're not, it's, and when, excuse me, I'm all over the place here, but even the emotional manifester, like the emotional manifester as a two-step informing process. So they're like, they push a little bit out of your aura, but then they sit back and they wait for you to come to them and give them more information. And then they finish initiating, you know, there's something about the solar plexus that I think trumps all the other centers in that way, where we really bow down to you in that way. Like, when someone is healthy in their emotions and you're plugged into them, it's a sexy vibe. Like it's a, you're like, okay, whatever I'll agree you on want, that. Let's go, you know? She's I'll like, agree you know, on that. I'll agree. We're very sexy.
Well, no, and only because I have all the waves. Like I could agree. Yeah. I do have an ability to.
There's an appeal there.
Yeah, when people tap into me, there you get pretty much blessed. That's not. You get blessed by me.
Get over here. Pretty get much. Blessed.
You come get yeah. blessed.
You come here, you get blessed.
I'm like the opposite. I'm like, I don't want to get blessed by an emotional authority.
But you I do. Want, you get I blessed. Don't.
I literally am like,
you get blessed. You know,
I take you it get as blessed. A,
I can only say this, and this is not in a boastful way. This is really in a, I've had people experience me in person.
And be blessed by you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh my gosh, like your energy is just so amazing. I'm like, oh, thanks. I'm just walking, doing my thing.
I can't wait to feel that energy IRL. Hasn't happened Listen, yet.
You will. And you're going to be like, wow.
I'm going to her book deal. I'm going to go to your book deal when you invite me. You know what I mean?
I'm going to do a, I mean, places. If you come to Canada, if you come to Toronto, I'm probably going to do a stop in Toronto when I do my tour.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Because that's my favorite what? City. It's my favorite city.
Yeah, I love T-Dot.
I love the T-Dot. Oh, I love Toronto.
It's a vibe there. It's definitely, it's a valley. Let me tell you. Yeah.
I love Toronto. I'm definitely doing a tour stop in Toronto.
Rachie, what's your opinion on the allure? You're married to an emotional person. You felt the tingle of the allure. What is that?
Yeah, I think I actually have a really good concrete example of kind of how this can play out, which is when we first met, there was such a strong connection, like really, really intense connection. And me being, you know, I didn't know about human design at the time. Me being the completely open solar plexus was just like so confronted with it that it was extremely uncomfortable. So I wanted to just break the tension. So I was telling him like, let's just make out, like, let's just like, I'll just drive over to your house. Like in the middle of this, you know, it's like, he was busy. He had a kid.
Third line things. Body. Hey, he was parenting. Like, let's fuck. Come on. I'm coming over. Like, Jesus.
Yeah. Like he took me out to lunch one day at work and I was like, let's just,
that's great. I would do the same thing, Rachel.
Let's just go behind these bushes. And he was like, no, like I really, he was just like, no, it's just not the right time. Like,
I'm obsessed
like,
with him. Like, I'm obsessed with this.
Yeah. And he was like, honestly, in that moment, he's like, I was actually thinking that same thing somehow. It was like, we were thinking, but it like came out of me, you know, cause I'm undefined throughout all these things. He wasn't going to do it, but he was like, I thought about it.
He's like, I'd fuck her in the bushes. I'm living for this. He would have way more of this in our show here.
He never would. He never would. But it was like in his mind, he was like, no, this has to proceed in the proper way. So we have to go out for dinner. And that was exactly how it happened. But it just had to be the right moment. And it was all on his terms. Actually, and everything happened.
Yeah, that's the part that's hot.
The waiting, it's hot.
Yeah, I was getting married too. He told me, he's like, I'll let you know when I'm ready to get married. I was like, cool.
I mean, that works.
Jasmine, what's your
perspective? Hate it. Like, I hate it. I feel like it's such a, like, I feel like it's an abuse of power. Like, to me, because I am undefined and I'm like, oh, and I have all these emotional friends, emotionally defined friends.
Yeah.
And I feel like that. I'm like, I'm at the ready. Like, you're going to tell me what to do next. You're going to, and also being like a response creature. Yeah. I'm like, like, I don't, how about this? Y'all talk over there. And then also my last bone to pick with a defined slip. I feel like they're a little pokey, like a little slow.
Oh, yeah.
And when it comes time to like, be like, oh, will you pick me up at 7? And I'm like, sure, but I really want to be there at 7. Could you be ready at 6:50? Like, and when I say ready, what I mean is you should be standing when I say I'll be there in 2 minutes. come outside your house and then you wait for me.
Not that at 7 they have to find their shoes and then take a poop, because that's what I live with.
Oh, Lord. I'm not like that. I am. Or they'll be like,
oh no, I'm ready. And I'm like, okay, but where are you? Because I've been outside your house
taking an emotional
for 5
poop.
Minutes. Yeah.
No,
oh, I'm ready.
No,
I'm like, oh, no.
I'm on time.
That's good to know, AC. I would let you drive
on time.
Me.
I love the beef that Jasmine and AC get into about these types of things. Like, oh, no. Oh, I mean, Rachel's sitting here like hamming it up. Yeah, here they go. It's literally one of my favorites.
It's no real beef.
It's no real beef, but it's just like, oh, no, not for me. Oh, no, not for me. And I'm just like,
I'll take it all. Serve it to me on a platter, please.
I'm not into all of it. I know, but you know, I think. After a while, it's like I do a great job of holding space for my emotional authority people. I do not put pressure on them. I do not rush them. I say, and even though sometimes they will say, no, yes, I want to do it. And I'll go, how about you let me know tomorrow?
Yeah.
How about you let me know when you're ready? You know?
Yeah.
And I let them pick their, or I let them do all kinds of stuff. So
AC does this to me. AC was like, no, I know now. And I always like earmark it. And then I always like, sometimes I will set an alarm on my phone.
I will circle back
the next day and just touch base again. And sometimes it's changed, or sometimes she needs to just air out a little bit more of how she feels about it. And sometimes it's still a yes, but I still am just like,
We'll see.
You don't have to decide now.
Yeah.
I'll see you tomorrow. Yeah. Always. Or next week or whatever it is. So I will preface it with like, I'm thinking this. I'd like us to do this. Feel it out. And I'll touch base with you tomorrow. Or I'll check in with you next week. I do that to my mom too now. And I find it works so great. When I have to have a hard convo with her, I like set her up for it. And oh my God, it totally changed our relationship.
You, me,
we're in this together.
Let's listen to each other.
You're listening to Each Other, a human design-centered podcast featuring an ensemble of energy types.
This was a 6-2 Studio production. Find us at six-two.studio for all your creative sound needs.